The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is brought to you by Gold Medal Flour. With varieties from all-purpose to better-for-bread to whole wheat, Gold Medal makes flour for all your baking needs. Over 125 years of baking success.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out on the edge of the prairie. It's been warm out there. It's been in the 50s. Warm enough for us. Warm enough for all normal purposes, and so people slept this week with their windows open, but then of course it got cold at night, so the furnaces went on, and you had hot air coming out from down here, and you had cold air blowing in from out there, which made for a very interesting dream life. A lot of people arrived at the Chatterbox Cafe looking shaken and shriven from strange dreams they had had before. Margie Krebsbach had a dream that she and her husband Carl were in a hotel and were about to make love, which was amazing in itself. And and then a room clerk came to knock on the door to tell them that they had to move to a different room, and he was pounding on the door, but Carl could not restrain himself, and so he was going to town, and the phone was ringing, and the clerk was pounding on the door, and there was this heavy rhythm, and then she woke up, and she had the quilt twisted all around herself, and the window was wide open. Carl was fast asleep, and there was a bird had gotten into the room and was flying around back and forth and back and forth. The Lake Wobegon Whippets went out to take a little early practice and get warmed up out on the ball field, and they were playing pepper making some wind sprints as best they could after having been in the sidetrack tap all winter. But Ronnie was out in center field, and it felt good to him to be out there and to smell the grass one more time. It had been a hard winter for him. Bobby Joe had left him during an argument that he could not remember one thing about. It may have been about his drinking, but he wasn't sure. And she had gone off, and now she's been hanging out with the third baseman for the Avon Bards. And so Ronnie's going to be running into this guy every few weeks as they play through the season of the Old Sod Shanty League, which is a depressing prospect. But he was out there in center field, and he was running wind sprints, and then somebody yelled, "Hey!" And it was the Dutchman who was standing to the plate, and he was batting fungos, and he hit this high fly ball, and Ronnie took off loping into right center field, and he just knew the moment he started out he'd timed everything perfectly, and the parabola of the white speck in the blue just came down to meet him without lurching, without leaning, without skidding, without swerving. It just was right there in his glove without any effort, just landed right in his glove. The world felt just magical to him, and he thought to himself, "I ought to quit right now. This should be, I should retire, and I would have this memory to keep my heart warm for a good long time." It was Easter this last Sunday. You probably were aware of that. They certainly were in Lake Wobegon. You could see people all dressed up going into Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, the Catholic Church. There were young women in floral dresses with bows in the back and wearing their black Mary Janes and silk hats with ribbons down the back. They were beautiful. Over at the Lutheran Church, there was just a lot of dressing down. There were a lot of jeans and ski sweaters, which is the problem with inbred modesty, is that it does limit your options for self-expression. I mean, the scripture says the meek shall inherit the earth, but so far all they have to show for it is just the Lutheran Church. That's all they own. They had a perfectly nice Easter, and they sang the old hymns, and they sounded about as good as they ever have, and then they went downstairs for coffee in the fellowship room, coffee which was so much less than it could have been, you know. And then they went off to have ham with the brown mustard honey glaze on it. A modest people with much to be modest about. And everybody refusing to acknowledge the enormous fact that the Enquists were not there, their pastor gone after 30-some years in the pastorate, and an interim pastor, the Reverend Barbara Hamm, who sort of looks like her name suggests, gave the Easter sermon, perfectly good, but Pastor Enquist had departed the day before. The bishop had come to visit a week and a half ago, and first of all, he was astonished to find out that Lake Wobegon existed and that the church was in his synod. He had had no idea. And then to discover that Pastor Enquist had been at the job for 30 years, too long. Too long. You're not supposed to stay that long. So he told him he was going to be removed, and he would be reassigned. And Pastor Enquist, of course, not disagree with this. Pastor gave him 2-3 months for closure, and Pastor Enquist asked if he could have a week off to go down to Minneapolis with his wife and 2 boys and to look for a place to live. And the bishop said, okay, you can do that. And as Pastor Enquist thought about leaving, he knew he was going to miss this place so much. He did not want to say goodbye to these people for fear that he would break into tears and make a spectacle of himself. So he went and he told his board, he told the church council, and he was so terse about it that they immediately thought alcohol. Alcohol, or he's gotten mixed up with a barmaid in some little town around here, or he's suffering from severe depression, although depression is very difficult to diagnose in the case of a Northern Lutheran. It just... Where does it begin? Where does character leave off? But the Reverend Hamm came in on Good Friday, and she told Pastor Enquist the story of her life. She had operated a German restaurant down in Minneapolis called The Dancing Pig. She and her husband, she'd been married once, had no kids, and the restaurant was struggling along, and then she discovered him canoodling with the pastry chef, and she kicked him out. But it was the pastry which really distinguished The Dancing Pig, and not the knockwurst or the sauerbraten. So when this gifted pastry chef went off with Mr. Hamm and started a bakery, they thrived, and The Dancing Pig went down. And it was the unfairness of this tramp rewarded, along with the dishonest husband, and the honest wife forced to pick up all the bills, and that's what drove her into theology, into... Divinity school, was to figure out why terrible things happen to good people who are not their fault. Well, Pastor Enquist was trying to tell her how things are done around the Lutheran church. Well, she said, we're not going to be doing it that way anymore. I'm the interim pastor, and then they'll be bringing in a new pastor, and they formed a search committee to go over all of this. So she was the one who met with the confirmation classes on Wednesday, and she was the one who met with the council on Thursday and said that she'd be filling in for Pastor Enquist while he had some time for himself. They thought alcohol. Maybe depression, probably not a barmaid. And they formed this search committee, Clint Bunsen, the chairman of the search committee. They talked about all the people they didn't want for a new pastor. They didn't want somebody who's going to make a lot of waves, you know, somebody who's just all about himself, somebody who just wanted to make change for the sake of change and bring in a lot of guitars and have us sing songs we're not familiar with. And then somebody said, well, how about a woman? Well, how about a woman? How about that? Clint Bunsen said, well, I mean, if she was qualified, you know, that'd be fine by me. But he couldn't help to get this picture in his mind of his 8th grade English teacher, Miss Fleischman. And then he got this picture in his mind of a pastor not in clerical gown, but in a black dress, low cut with pearls, and holding a microphone in her hand and high heels and singing, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and all things seen and unseen. Well, it's an interesting idea. Meanwhile, Pastor Enquist had gone down to Minneapolis. He packed his boys and his wife into the car with their suitcases and some boxes, and they looked at this street, McKinley Street, where they'd lived since these boys, before they were born. He'd brought them up here. They looked around, and when they were on the verge of tears, they got behind the wheel, and they went. They did as Lutherans have always done. They just keep going. You just keep going, and pretty soon something else happens. They drove down to Minneapolis, and they got into their apartment down in Bloomington. He's been offered a job at the Mall of America, which is the largest mall in the United States. Malls, mega malls now, are like hometowns to a lot of people, and these are what are familiar to people, and so people hang out in them, and of course people have spiritual problems even while they are shopping, and they they need some help, they need some advice, and people like to be married. And there's a chapel of love down there, so he'd be marrying people. And these old people who walk around up and down, up and down, up and down the malls for exercise, when they die, they like their ashes to be deposited out there in the columbarium, which is in between Banana Republic and Eddie Bauer. And so there's a place here for a chaplain in the mall, and he'd be paid $150,000, three times what he's ever earned in Lake Wobegon. He told Judy, he said, this is transitional, you know, this is transitional. But she didn't care. She liked the idea of a change in their lives. They could walk down the street now, and nobody was looking at them to see if they were holding hands, to see if they were getting along or not. Nobody was commenting on the fact that their light was on late last night. Nobody was watching what they were wearing and if it was the sort of thing a pastor should be wearing. They were just everyday people. They loved that. They loved that. He took his boys for a walk to acquaint them with the suburbs and the beauty of these old suburbs where the trees have grown up and the lawns are so lush and thick, and they walked across this park, and there were shouts from over there and over there. It was a beautiful, almost summer day. He took his boys for a walk, and they realized that they were walking across baseball fields, and they were walking from one outfield into another, overlapping outfields. And then somebody let out a yell, and Pastor Enquist looked up, and a man had batted a fungo, a long fungo, this little white speck up in the sky, came towards him. He said, watch your heads, boys. His boys ducked. His confident boy and his fearful boy, they both ducked their heads. And he stood there, and it came to him as if directed by the Lord God Almighty. This softball just came flying towards him. All he had to do was just hold out his hands and gather it in as any person of faith would do. He caught it right in front of him. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.